Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025, The Game. The Supreme Court of the United States is not a topic that we talk about often here on Stillman and Company.
And I like it that way.
In fact, I can't remember the last time we did talk about the Supreme Court of the United States. Can you name all nine justices?
I cannot.
How many can you name?
One. Probably. Yeah.
Which one?
Brett Kavanaugh.
Okay.
That's an easy one.
Can you name another one?
There's a new one.
Right. That like literally was a humongous topic of discussion.
Yeah, it was a humongous topic of discussion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't work in politics. Amy.
Close.
Amy, got the first. Something Barrett.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go.
Ian, I bet you can name all nine justices.
No, probably not all nine, to be honest with you.
Okay, let's try here. Let's try with me. I got nothing in front of me. Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, Sonia Sotomayor, who, by the way, you guys should know she was the one that basically ended the baseball strike in 95. Stephen Bear, 5.
Okay.
John Roberts is the Chief Justice.
Okay.
6. So I got 3 more. Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and... Oh, my goodness. Why can I not get this one? Oh, my goodness.
Wait, let me pull them up.
I was going to say John Paul Stevens, but that's a long time ago.
I'm already impressed.
I feel like anywho. As we look up to see the one that I'm missing, the Supreme Court of the United States unanimously affirmed a ruling Monday that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated, and also opens the door for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the court's opinion, which upheld a district court's judge's decision that the NCAA was violating antitrust law by placing limits on education-related benefits that schools can provide to athletes. The decision allows schools to provide the athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it is some way connected to their education. So again, I've read this like 2 different ways, and you know me, like to read a judicial opinion, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and I'm always like, all right, chop it up and tell me what it is.
Uh-huh.
But now with this stuff, there's so much more in these articles. It's like, okay, now chop that up and tell me what that is. So there's 2 different things here. One, it feels like, is this could be the end of college sports as we know it right now. Now, it's not going to be the end of college sports, period, because college sports is a big business. And not only is it a big business, it's big for local economies, which is why it's not going to go away. You take away Alabama sports from Tuscaloosa, all of a sudden people are losing jobs. That's a big deal. So, like, there's an ecosystem here that has to be balanced. But the idea that we used to live in, and it feels like we've been heading in this direction for a while, but the idea that you're not going to pay the players has really gone out the window. It's a lot like where we are with marijuana. It's a lot like where we are with other issues that, like, 15 years ago, gay marriage, I don't think, was legal in the United States.
No.
I think I remember in high school.
Passed in 2013?
I remember when I was in high school and there was like, you could go to California and it would be recognized in California, but it wouldn't be recognized anywhere else, or certainly wouldn't be recognized here. Now it's blanketed across the country, and most people, when you look at all the polls, most people are kind of for it. You know, like most people are for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like you go back 20 years ago and the idea of paying players in college sports was like, paying the players? Oh, my God, no. But now I think we look at this, and when I hear that basically the Supreme Court unanimously, these people don't agree on anything. So for the Supreme Court unanimously to basically say, yeah, the NCAA is violating antitrust laws, the same antitrust exemption that they give all the other pro sports, and they're like, no. You guys are violating antitrust laws by not letting the players make any money. I think it's a big deal. But then I'm also saying, okay, it's tied to education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not tied to your athletic prowess. So it's not like, okay, Devontae Smith, we want you to come to Alabama. Here's $100,000. It has to be like, okay, Devontae Smith, we want you to come to Alabama. Here's a $2,800 laptop for you to do all your schoolwork. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Now, again, they talk about education in this. It has to be tied to education. Well, what's to say that if I'm recruiting this player, that he's going to need a car to be able to get around campus. So here's a 7 Series BMW. Knock yourself out.
That's different.
But is it? And that's where I don't know. This is why I think it's either one of two things. Either it's just, you know, it just adds to the educational benefits that you can give an athlete. And it's like when they allowed him to have unlimited food, really didn't move the needle as far as amateurism was concerned or the realities of college sports, other than these kids can eat as much as they want now, which is kind of stupid to begin with.
Right.
But kind of changed that. Or it is legitimately the end because the Supreme Court has said, no way, no how, you guys cannot hold down the earning ability of these athletes that you are all profiting off of. Like, I can see this going on both sides of the pendulum. I am not a legal scholar, nor have I read through all of this enough to get a grasp of what it actually means. But the one thing that I point out to this ESPN article that really matters to me is it also opens the door for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model. That tells me that we are headed in that direction to where this could just totally change college sports. And the one thing that I will say as a fan, not as a person, not talking about what's right, I'm just talking about as a fan. The one thing I've said the whole time with all of this for the last decade that we've shifted from this side of like, you can't pay the players to, I mean, who cares? And I have certainly done a lot of shifting on that too. The one thing I will say is I have always told the people that just don't change the college experience for me. As long as we got Alabama LSU on a Saturday and it's still Alabama and it's still LSU, I'm cool. As long as we still have the NCAA tournament and it's the top 68 teams and they're trying to win the college basketball tournament, fine. But if we get to the point now where it's like, yeah, I'm not playing in the Sweet 16 if they don't give me another 50 grand, now I got a little problem here. Now it's going to be, okay, it's not college sports anymore. It's all BS, and I don't want that. So that's kind of where I sit with the Supreme Court ruling today.
And I think that will be a huge undertaking for the NCAA, for conferences, for individual universities. But you also have to keep in mind, to anyone who is so against this, the Supreme Court doesn't deal with the specifics of what you can and can't give a student athlete and what classifies as an educational assistance. The Supreme Court deals with the law, and the current sanctions underneath the NCAA were against the law. So that's the first thing that we have to deal with.
I mean, it does kind of feel like anti-capitalistic, right?
It does.
Like, just in general, like, before we get into the, like, this is always my thing on, like, marijuana use, where I'm like, so you can go buy a fifth of Jack, but you can't buy, like, marijuana? Like, I've never understood that. And I guess, like, I kind of feel the same way here, which is, at the end of the day, like, you're telling these college kids that they can't. Like, it's one thing to sit there and say, this is what I think the reality is. Before it was, if you sign up to play by the NCAA's rules, then you get a scholarship, and that's it. And you can't get any more than the average student who's got nothing that, you know, that whatever. And in reality, I think it's kind of like, wait a minute. If you go fight in a war, shouldn't you be allowed to make an extra 15 grand off of telling people to go visit Johnson's Motors? Like, it's not like you're taking money away from anybody else. Like, so, hey, go to Johnson's Motors. It's where I got my brand new Cadillac, and you can too. Johnson's Motors at 423 Johnson Motors Boulevard. Like, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with signing some autographs? Like, at the end of the day, like, again, if we live in this, like, capitalism society, which is like, yeah, you should work hard to be able to make money. And then it's like, no, don't make money now. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Going back to your point about the Supreme Court is not going to sit there and decide whether or not a Ferrari is an educational instrument unless something crazy happens. I do think that now there is a humongous gray area that is wide open. And I just, as I said, is this going to change how we view sports, how we take in college sports? And I do wonder that, because as a fan, like, I like college sports kind of the way they are. I mean, I wish college baseball games would be shorter, but I don't want somebody to not pitch in the Women's College World Series of softball that I just love so much. I don't want someone to say, well, you know, we were going to play today, but then the team wouldn't give us an extra $50,000, and I just don't feel like showing up today. Like, that's what I don't want.
Yeah, there are definitely going to be, and I think it will have to happen soon, there are going to be a lot of specifics that come out from the NCAA and from conferences that ideally very clearly highlight what is educational assistance. You know, we're not going to put a cap on it, but what exactly, you know, like if we're giving you $150,000 for books, there's going to be a warning light up there somewhere that's like, wait a minute.
But is there? Like, is this ruling the end of all of that?
I think there will have to be, because all it is allowing is educational assistance. So I've never had books that have cost $150,000 in one semester. So I'm sure there will be counselors and legal proceedings that make sure that everything that is happening within these educational assistance guidelines are being followed. But it does open up a very new, very different set of precedents that have yet to be set. But, like, let's also not forget that players are getting paid. Like, it's happening.
Like, the behind-the-scenes stuff?
The behind-the-scenes stuff is happening. This, at least, clears up a little bit of that and allows schools to take care of their student-athletes. Being in college is hard. Playing a college sport is hard. These kids deserve to get helped.
So, I mean, I've never cared, honestly. Like, I know that, like, paying the players has always been something that's come up. Like, there's always been, whether it was, like, Todd Gurley or Johnny Manziel or the FBI investigation into basketball or whatever. Like, I know it's always been. Because, like, and then it'd always be, like, some idiot, like, some coach or something would say, well, they're getting a college scholarship, and that's not free, so I don't feel like it. And it always starts the same arguments over and over again. I've never cared. I have never cared, and maybe the humanitarian in me should have, but I've never cared. I've always been like, okay, what does this do to the game? Because here's the amazing part about it. Do you know who the Sounds are playing tonight?
Strapers?
No, they're not.
Is that over?
No, I don't think they play tonight. I think they play tomorrow.
Okay.
They're playing they're playing the Charlotte Knights.
Okay.
Do you know who the Charlotte Knights are?
Do I know who they are?
Like who they're the AAA affiliate of?
I do not.
They're the AAA affiliate of the White Sox.
Okay.
You don't know any of that.
No.
Can you name anybody on that team?
No.
Okay. You do realize college football is the minor leagues of the NFL.
Yes.
Like, people in that, like, nobody would ever say, you know, I'm not really a Major League Baseball guy. I'm more of a minor league guy. No one would say, you know, I'm not really an NBA guy. NBA doesn't do it for me. I'm more of a G League guy. Nobody would ever say that. But college basketball and college football are sports where people literally root for the minor leagues. That's what they are. They are the minor leagues. And they are, and you're rooting for it. I mean, just so you know it, that it is 100% the minor leagues of football. In baseball, the minor leagues competes with college. The G League in basketball competes with college. It's like, I don't know. Do I sign this pro contract? Do I go play minor league baseball in Valdosta, Georgia? And it's like, I don't know what to do. Well, like now, it's kind of blurring the lines, and guys are going to get paid more, but I'm still sitting here saying, okay, but is it going to ruin the college sport experience? Like tonight, when we watch Vanderbilt play baseball. Like 5 years from now, will it be the same thing, where if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're going to root for Vanderbilt, just like you would root for the Titans or root for the Predators or root for whoever? And I don't know. But again, everybody has different interpretations of what this means. I almost feel like the Supreme Court, God bless them, but I feel like they love leaving things like open-ended. Like,
well, it's not their job.
Does this mean to pay the players, or?
I think it's the first step to paying players.
I know, but then why don't they just rule on that? Well, that's not the scope of what they're right. I know. But again, that's the question I ask. Let's take your calls. 615-737-1025. Was today's Supreme Court ruling, was this the beginning of the end for college sports as we know it? Or is it just like, hey, you know, good for the players. Good for the players. Buy them a Ferrari so they can get around to school. 615-737-1025. Apparently it was Elena Kagan who was the justice that I didn't get. Yes. So my apologies to her.
Thank you to our texters who clarified that for us.
Oh, yes. But I got 8 of the 9. That's pretty good. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, The Game. And coming up next, what one of the attorneys fighting for the players said. We'll get to that. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
This case was never about those very few who are fortunate enough to make it into the pros and have a long professional career. This is about the 98% of the Division I football and basketball players, even at the top level, who this is their one shot at reaping the awards for what they could generate. And doing it in a way here that will also further their education. So it was compelling on an individual level beyond all else.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Kessler, the attorney who is arguing on behalf of the players in today's unanimous Supreme Court ruling. By the way, is it just me or all the same lawyers always involved in the big sports cases?
Yeah.
He was involved in the Brady case, I think. Like the Brady versus the NFL Deflategate.
The Deflategate case?
Yeah. Yeah, he was involved in it.
Eek.
Like, I think it's like the same six lawyers. It's like, yeah, okay, now it's a big sports case. You go to that. It's like every...
Like the whole network of sports is all connected.
Well, every prominent person who gets in trouble in Houston hires Rusty Harden as their defense attorney. So like Deshaun Watson. Defense attorney is Rusty Harden. Roger Clemens during the steroid stuff, his defense attorney, Rusty Harden. Like, they all hire the same guy.
It's like all college football coaches have the same agent.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess kind of like that. So, again, reading through this, the article, Steve Berman was the co-counsel. Steve Berman, I think, was part of the Brady case as well. So, I think it's like all these same guys. So, according to the article, again, this is all about education, which was the scope that they were going through. According to the article, quote, the NCAA has asked Congress for help in carving out a limited antitrust exemption that would protect it from some future legal claims while allowing the organization to continue to put some restrictions on how athletes can be compensated, which it says is an important step in maintaining a distinction between pro and college sports. Thus far, many members of Congress have been reticent to grant them an exception. So that's one part of it. I mean, I don't think that they'll get this. But apparently the NCAA asked the Supreme Court to review a case first filed in 2014 by former West Virginia football player Sean Alston. Judge Claudia Wilkin ruled in the Alston case in 2019, determining that schools should be able to provide their athletes with educational equipment, study abroad programs, internships, and even cash rewards in exchange for academic accomplishments. The NCAA's attorneys argued that these measures were micromanaging rules that should be determined by the NCAA's members and that added benefits were akin to professional salaries. So, again, I just don't see how the NCAA gets anything that they want without a collective bargaining agreement.
And I think that one key thing is the cash rewards for academic achievement.
Here's 20 grand for straight A's.
Yeah, good job on your chemistry final. Here's a Lambo. Like, I think that is going to have a lot of really difficult gray area. And, you know, I'm all for giving these athletes the things that they deserve, but that's kind of a tough one. If you're going to say it's educational based, I'm thinking money for books, money for a computer, support for internships, because most internships in certain fields are unpaid. I'm all for that.
I go back to the Ferrari. You go to class, right? You got to get around the campus. How are you supposed to go to the grocery store if you don't have a car? How are you supposed to go to the grocery store?
But is the grocery store educational based?
I mean, don't you need food to survive college education?
Well, yes, of course, but why not the dining halls? I mean, I'm all for it, but I'm saying that I feel like these are going to be the things, the defense against what you are saying.
Sure. I mean, the truth is, again, the Supreme Court can narrow their scope as much as they want, or they can make it as concrete as they want to in their decisions. And that's why the decisions are so important. The opinions are so important, because if they were to put in there that, hey, they think the college kids should be paid, then all of a sudden any further legal challenge that even goes to like the district courts, or, you know, before, way before they get to the Supreme Court, within sight, well, in Alston versus the NCAA, Justice Kavanaugh wrote that all players should be paid however much money they're worth, or something like that. Now it affects every single case that comes before it. And that's why I think they like to leave it open, so they can then let other judges decide in the future. I interpret this as you're probably not going to be able to buy somebody a Ferrari, but somebody's going to try.
Yep.
Somebody's going to try and say, you know, Zion Williamson, class is just so hard. It's so hard to get to. It's so hard to deal with. It's so hard to be on time. It's hard. Here's a Ferrari, a $250,000 car. Knock yourself out. What about these, you know, where are the athletes going to stay when they're on campus? We're going to put them in the dorm? Nah, let's just rent Zion Williamson an 8-bedroom house. Like where is the defining element here? And I do, again, you heard Jeffrey Kessler in the clip we played. He said it's about all the other athletes and not about the Zions and not about the Johnny Manziels and not about the Trevor Lawrences. But it's hard not to think about how this will affect the game as far as the Zions and the Trevors and the Johnny Footballs are concerned, because quite frankly, that's who moves the needle in terms of winning or losing.
Do you think this could potentially affect locker room relationships and team relationships whenever there's monetary value attached to certain players?
I think money can affect anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think money can tear apart an NBA locker room. I think it can tear apart an MLB locker room. I think it can tear apart we saw Kyle Turris tear apart the Predators locker room. Like, nobody really talks about this, but everybody knows. I mean, Kyle Turris made all that money, and Kyle Turris, once he made his money, was happy making his money, and that it really hurt that locker room. And it's because Kyle Turris making all that money, he wouldn't do anything. So, like, if it can happen with grown men, it can certainly happen with young boys. And yes, I'm sure it tears it apart now. I remember being in a locker room one time, and a kid was talking about how he'd go get shoes at the store, and they give him the Jordans for free, and the other guy said, hey, dude, shh. You know, now if it's like, oh, yeah, they give me all stuff. Oh, yeah, I get whatever I want. The other guy's like, man, I'm sitting here like,
I want that.
Trying to figure out how I'm going to get to class. And they got him over there, a Ferrari. Yes, I think that would be an issue. Let's get to your phones on at 615-737-1025. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what's in there?
One texter texted in and said, this is just the liberal left in action. The university system is no different than the healthcare system. Government universities in private institutions charging way too much money for what they provide.
Huh?
I just read the texts. I don't explain them. I try not to.
You know the Supreme Court has 9 people on it, right?
I know that. I don't know the 9 people, but I know that there's 9.
And you know there's a mix of conservative and liberal people on it, right?
There are more conservative people on it.
Yes.
Yep.
And they all voted 9-0. I don't think this is like a liberal or radical left or conservative right, or when the Supreme Court rules 9-0 on something, like, you got your answer there. Like, you got your answer. When the Supreme Court rules the same. You know what I was thinking about the other day? This is totally unrelated to this topic, because this topic I don't really think is much of a political topic.
I don't think so.
But everybody gets so bent out of shape about the Supreme Court justices, like it is the end-all, be-all of everything. And yet, like, some Supreme Court justices don't vote the way that they're expected to vote. Or rule, or whatever you want to call it. And then I always think about that every time these people get so bent out of shape about a Supreme Court justice when I'm like, you know, if you look at it, I read a 538 article that said that the Supreme Court justice, like 90% of the time, votes with what the mainstream American opinion is. And I'm like, makes cool. sense to me. And in this case, I think this goes back to the mainstream American opinion about paying the players, which I think most people kind of think like, yeah, do it. Right? Like, yeah, the kid who is averaging 33 points a game should not be eating a bologna sandwich that he used a Pell Grant to pay for. Right? Like, is that a problem? Like, I think everybody kind of agrees with that. So I don't see, to me, this is the most apolitical Supreme Court topic you could have. They voted 9-0. 9-0. That means the most liberal judge, and I don't know who the most liberal judge is.
I don't know.
And the most conservative judge, which I think is that Samuel Alito, but I don't know that either.
I don't know.
It's either him or the Clarence Thomas. But that the most liberal judge and the most conservative judge both voted the same way. What's next?
Another texter texted in and said, it always bugs me whenever people cheer for players on Saturday and don't think about the repercussions the rest of the days of the week.
This oh, my God. Thing. Why? Why? Why does it matter? Why, if you root for the Dallas Cowboys, can you root for the Cowboys on a Sunday and not worry about Dak Prescott's family life on a Tuesday? But when it comes to the poor college athletes, an Alabama fan should have to care Monday through Friday about how they're getting the books in the backpack.
You're saying, why should they care?
Yeah, they don't care. Like, they don't care.
No, they don't care.
They don't care. They do not. Like, I've always told people, like, somebody once said to me, and Floyd, and they were like, why don't you guys make the show about you? Like, why don't you make it about you guys? You know, so that when everybody tunes in, that they're tuning in to hear Jared and Floyd talk about Jared and Floyd. And I was like, because they don't care. Because they care about the Titans, and they care about the SEC, and they care about the Predators, and they care about college sports, and they care about what they care about, and it's my job to talk about what they care about. Like, nobody cares. People that watch the cable news channel, they don't care about Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow. They just watch the shows because they talk about the things they care about. So, like, I don't, and again, I think I'm going off on a rant here about something that's not really worth ranting about, but you should not feel guilty as a college sports fan not caring about the kids during the week. Like, if this is the way I would view it. If there is a public referendum and you go to vote and it is, should we pay college athletes, and you vote no, now I have a little bit of a problem. But if there's nothing you can do about it other than go watch college sports and call into a radio show and say, I think we should pay the players. Why feel bad about it? There's nothing you can do about it. In rent.
Another texter texted in and said they are paid free tuition, books, room and board, and tutoring. The average student pays for that. Also, where is the money going to come from?
Where's Dabo Swinney getting $9 million bucks a year from? That's where the money's going to come from. The second thing, the education is a payment. Go call 2015 and go send that opinion there, because that's how people felt back then. Just like when I was a kid and Honey Badger was at LSU and Honey Badger would smoke all that pot. And I used to think, he's a bad guy, that Honey Badger. And now it's like the dude smoked some weed. Like the dude smoked some weed. You know, he's not, like, I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and I look at that team, and I see Tyreek Hill, and I think, okay, who's the worst guy, Honey Badger smoking some pot or Tyreek Hill? I got my answer. You know, the idea of, well, you know, a college scholarship is a payment. There you go. It's payment. Well, apparently, all nine justices don't believe that. So you elected your presidents. They put these people on there, and all of them agree. The same people that Donald Trump put on there and the same people that Barack Obama put on there, I would guess most people that voted for one or the other, the same people that they put on that court all agreed on the same thing. So that opinion is, it's over. It's done. It's gone. See ya.
And the idea that, you know, why should student athletes get these things when the average student, you know, non-athletes have to pay for these things? Look, I was not an athlete in college. You know what I did while athletes were up at 5 o'clock lifting and at practice?
Rip fireball shots?
Probably, honestly, probably. You know, like when you're an average student, you have the time to study. When you're an athlete, you have to go to a tutor because you have an hour in between class and mandatory weightlifting.
See, I don't feel
and
that bad
all
for
of
athletes.
This and all of that.
I don't feel that bad for the athletes.
I mean, they have a wonderful privilege of being able to play a sport in college, but it does introduce a whole new set of challenges.
Yeah, I mean, like, I saw enough of it in college to know, like, how hard or how hard it wasn't. You know, like, I don't have any sympathy either. I mean, like, first and foremost, let me say, I don't care. But more importantly, just on the personal level, like, can't we say that about everything in life? Like, well,
yeah.
The regular student doesn't get to do this. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And the regular student can go work a job and can go get paid, and these kids can't. You know what I mean? So I have a hard time with that, but I understand what you're saying. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phones on this next. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Oh, boy, this is just a great show. So we'll get to that. I do need to tell all of the fine folks out there, if all these other people would stop emailing me, stuff I don't care about. I need to tell the fine folks that this Wednesday is your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Friday night, you will win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Wednesday morning at 9:45. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving. The big news today, the Supreme Court has ruled 9-0 in favor of the student athletes against the NCAA. Now, this only pertains to educational assets, but I think it pretty much speaks for itself. Let's go to your phones, unless you have a thought.
To the phones!
Phones. Ellie is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Ellie.
Thank goodness the indentured servitude of NCAA sports has finally been broken. And you know who's going to be the biggest winner? Agents, boosters, and will this ripple effect affect high school sports? I mean, can high school players get paid also if in Texas playing football? Oh, my goodness, this has been going to be insane. It's going to be so awesome. Let them get paid. You don't have to worry about getting food on the table. You don't have to worry about finding sneakers. It's about freaking time. I mean, the coach is making $7 million on these kids a year. It's ridiculous. Thank you.
So, I appreciate your call, Ellie. I will say this about the whole high school kid thing. Remember when LeBron got a Hummer and he almost got suspended or almost, like, lost his eligibility? And then they came out that LeBron's mom applied for the loan to buy LeBron the Hummer. And we all knew LeBron was going to go cash in for about $100 million the day that he had declared for the draft, which, in fact, he did. Like, I'm not sure I care. Like, I mean this with all sincerity. I'm not sure I care. And here's why I don't care. Because Matt Barkley was the top recruit in the country. The number one can't-miss quarterback, started for Pete Carroll at USC as a freshman. And Matt Barkley was that dude. And then Matt Barkley didn't go in the first round of the NFL draft. And then Matt Barkley didn't become a starting quarterback. And then Matt Barkley bounced around the league for the rest of his life as a backup. And I'm sure Matt Barkley, when it comes to real money in the NFL, has probably made somewhere around $7, $10, $15 million. Ryan Tannehill makes $29.5 million a year. Whatever money you could have given Ryan Tannehill in high school that you wouldn't have given him because you wanted to give it to Matt Barkley, I'm sure Ryan Tannehill isn't missing today. So that's kind of my take on it. I'm not sure I care. The idea of, well, what about high school kids now? What about, oh my goodness, we'll pay all the players. I don't, whatever.
I mean, at this point, the the landscape of high school sports has changed so much because you look at high school basketball, you look at Bronny James, you look at Dwayne Wade's son. They have huge followings on Instagram and TikTok, and people their age think that they are like the LeBron and the D Wade of their time. So if Dwayne Wade's son has 2 million followers on Instagram and he wants to promote this new sports drink for $1 million a year, do it. You've earned the right. You're just like every other influencer out there. So I don't understand why it's so taboo. I get it, but I don't.
Besides, how much money do you have to give LeBron's kid for it to make a difference in his life?
A lot more than $1 million a year, I think.
Okay. So, yeah. The idea, do you really think some Texas booster is going to give LeBron's kid, $5 million a year to go to Texas? I don't think they care that much. I really don't think that they care that much.
Especially in basketball, because he'll be there for a year.
I don't mind writing a $100,000 check if I'm one of those guys to get my season seats and doing it to the university. And now I just got to give the kid cash or something like that. I don't have a problem with that. But the idea of a booster paying $15 million to one kid, I don't see that. I do not buy that. Caroline's is coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's my official sportsbook app. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, now is the perfect time to get in on all the action with the FanDuel Sportsbook app, because during the conference finals, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I feel pretty good right now about Phoenix. There are even more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs. And when you win, getting your money is a layup and you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Plus, the app is so easy to use. Just sign up with the promo code JGM to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code JGM to unlock 30-1 odds for any playoff team to win their next game. Exclusively on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users must wager in designated offer market, $10 first deposit required, $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. I put together a nice stretch at the end of last week to finish above 500, but not enough to pass Caroline Fenton, who is now 2-0 in Caroline's on the week, which means I have to win this week. If I don't win this week, then the show will be named Caroline and Company for a day. So I better get it figured out and get it figured out soon. If there's a light at the end of the tunnel, though, it is that last time I got cocky up 2-0, and I expect nothing but the same from Caroline to be equally as cocky up 2-0.
Not
so
fair.
Hopefully, perhaps, that can help me and work in my favor.
I don't think you need to worry about me getting too cocky.
I'm hopeful you'll get too cocky. I wouldn't worry. I'm hopeful.
I don't think that you should feel that way.
Okay. Okay, fine.
I'm going into this week, everything in the past is the past. This is a new week.
Do you think you're going to win this week?
Yeah, I do.
Cocky. Time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Islanders Lightning tonight. I was going to take Islanders +1.5, but it's -236 or something ridiculous like that. So I'm going to take the Lightning on the money line. They're back in Tampa Bay. In the regular season, Tampa Bay went 21-7 at home, 15-10-3 on the road. So they are obviously much more comfortable at home. And Tampa Bay went down big, 3-0 in game 4, but they came back with 2 goals in the third period. So I don't think that they're going to be too easy to beat. Game 5 is huge. Tampa Bay knows they need a win to advance, especially at home. Give me Tampa Bay on the money line.
I thought we had a rule of no money line Mondays.
Oh, that just applied to last week.
Oh, okay. Did it.
Yeah.
Did it now. I'll take the
Islanders.
This
is called Caroline's, not Jared Lines.
I will take the Islanders +1.5. I think the Islanders are going to get it done, but I am protected in case they don't. So give me the Islanders +1.5.
Do we have a certain tiebreaker if I take one team on the money line and you take the other team against the spread?
Let me check the rules. No.
All right, fine. Clippers, Suns. Give me the Suns. -6. That's -108. So Kawhi is out. CP3 is also out. But I think the Suns are better than the Clippers without Kawhi and without CP3. Game one of the Western Conference Finals. BG had 35 points. Reggie Jackson had 24 for the Clippers. They still lost.
Is that game Saturday?
Is that game Saturday? Yes, it was Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday. Yep. And without Kawhi, who honestly can guard Devin Booker? He had a triple-double and 40 points in game one. I think the Suns are going to keep it rocking. Suns -6.
I am a little torn here. So this game is tomorrow night. I am a little torn here. I am going to go with... give me the Clippers +6.
Okay.
Paul George, I don't like him very much, but, you know, we'll see. Clippers +6. Give me that one for tomorrow night. Though I do reserve the right maybe to change my mind. Probably not, though.
Do you? I think the rules say you can't.
Let me check.
No, the rules say you can't. I checked already.
Rule says you can.
Reds, Twins. Give me the Reds on the money line as well. Twins have a lefty on the mound, which I traditionally pick, but I don't like him. He's got a 6.12 ERA. J.A. Happ is 3-3 under 12 starts. So he's had at least 4 earned runs in each of his last 3 starts. In 6 of his last 7 outings, he's had earned runs allowed. Reds have Tyler Mahle on the mound, 7-2 with a 3.39 ERA and 14 starts. The Reds just got swept by San Diego, so not a great look. And their offense has not been great as of late. But this just feels like the perfect opportunity to snap out of a dry spell. You know, just coming off of getting swept, you've got a not-so-hot-as-of-late pitcher on the mound. Reds, money line.
What's your beef with J.A. Happ?
He has a 6.12 ERA. That's my beef with J.A. Happ.
I mean, he's 3-3 on the season. He plays in the American League.
Uh-huh.
He's 3-3 on the season. He's got a 1.44 whip. I mean, I'm trying to looking at these two lineups right now to see which one I think I trust more. Let's see. Minnesota's lineup.
And Reds are the underdog here, +136.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Reds on the money line here, too, though I'm not totally comfortable with it. I don't recognize a ton of names in that Minnesota lineup. And when I don't recognize a ton of names, I don't feel very good about
nervous.
It. Though the Reds do kind of stink at .500. Minnesota definitely stinks. So, okay, I'll roll with the Reds on the money line here. We have two tonight that are going to go into the Carolines. The first is the second game of a 7-inning doubleheader. Ian Anderson will go for the Braves. I will take them on the money line. They are favored against the Mets, who have not named their starting pitcher for today. But because the Braves are getting rocked right now, I've learned that in doubleheaders, you get rocked in the first game. You come back better in the second game. I think that's what the Braves will do, just like they did last night in their doubleheader against the Cardinals.
Give me the Mets on the money line, mainly because I want to be different. Pretty much only because I want to be different.
Now,
the Mets.
On the money line, Vanderbilt tonight against NC State. Mm-hmm. NC State is red hot. And NC State had a much easier time of it with Stanford than Vanderbilt did with Arizona. And I believe Stanford absolutely wrecked Arizona while we
Stanford
were on the air today.
Did wreck Arizona today. Last time I checked, it was like 14-5.
Jack Leiter gets the ball for Vanderbilt tonight. I will take the Commodores on the money line. I think they win. I think they go 3-0. In the regional to get to the final, and what happens then, I don't know, but I'm going to take Vanderbilt.
I think you're being a homer. Go Pack, go. Give me NC State on the money line. I think they are absolutely red hot. I thought Arkansas was going to win it all. NC State beat them convincingly. Give me the Wolfpack.
You will be the first person in the history of the Stillman & Company / Jared and the GM show who ever accused me of being a Vanderbilt homer. Ian, is that fair?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure there was a texter that called you a Vanderbilt homer.
Yeah, but those are Tennessee fans.
Yeah,
that is true. Tennessee fans do call you a Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah. Right, but Vanderbilt fans hate me because I just tell it like it is. And because normally, outside of baseball, those two programs kind of stink at everything. They get all mad at me because I say, hey, they stink at everything. I'm going to take Vanderbilt tonight on the money line. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Preds Insiders is coming up next. Vanderbilt NC State on ESPN. First pitch just moments away. We will see you tomorrow at 2:00.